The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Cannot stop looking at Jorge Soler, hitting that ball out of the Soler system. How Atlanta finally exorcised all demons in winning the World Series. And also where Aaron Rodgers' positive COVID test and the report that he's unvaccinated leaves him and the Packers. Let's go.
I can't believe a Jorge did that to me and my prediction.
Breaking and emerging news concerning Aaron Rodgers' reported positive COVID test. Here's what we know. Per reports, he will be out this week for the Packers-Kansas City game. But it could be more, and things could become very difficult for the Green Bay Packers now. Threads, there are many threads, and they're pulling in this story. In training camp, when he was asked if he was vaccinated, here's how Aaron Rodgers replied.
Are you vaccinated, and what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized.
So while saying, yeah, immunized was the word he used. Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network today reporting the league views Rodgers as not vaccinated. That would put him out for 10 days minimum and also would put the Packers in serious jeopardy if he's been traveling on team flights, eating team meals, any of the other enforced protocol for unvaccinated players, mask wear, daily test, etc. He has not been wearing a mask in media sessions post-game this season or on the sidelines. About whether Rodgers purposely misled in his public statements or about whether the Packers knew all along he was unvaccinated, ESPN has learned this afternoon Rodgers had positioned the league for special consideration through alternative treatment to the vaccine, pertaining to the protocol. The league declined Rodgers' request. Ask a question to start here. Tim Kallis Show, where does this leave Aaron Rodgers and where does it leave the Packers?
You know, it leaves him somewhere between league most valuable player and worst teammate ever. That's kind of a broad group, I realize. But did the Packer teammates really know all this stuff? Did they know he was playing with semantics when he answered that question about the vaccine? Yes, I've been immunized. Did they know he'd whatever this other treatment was that he wanted to get through the league, and the league said no, because he certainly, as you said, didn't wear masks and didn't do things that players who have been outspoken, some of them, you know, about the sort of an anti-vaccine stance, they wear masks. They do the things that you're supposed to do. He does not. It also hurts the league from the standpoint this was the week to have Rodgers versus Mahomes for the first time ever, and you might guess the only time ever since those teams don't play each other very often. And now that's gone. It hurts the team. Obviously, that game is a lot more losable than it was yesterday.
You find yourself asking questions. What did the Packers know about his vaccination? Or what did the league know? If the league, in fact, refused his request, then the league, have they not been seeing him on sidelines without a mask and post-game without a mask?
The more important thing that you just said is the league. I mean, it's interesting to know if the players knew and if the coaches knew. But if the league really knew all this, and they must have, and they let him slide, then they're not treating him like the rest of the other 1,500 players.
Evan Blackiston, I'll bring you in here on your view of it all.
Yeah, I mean, once again, it's the league that looks really, really bad here. But let me return just to Aaron Rodgers for a second, because what it does for me is now all of a sudden I think a little bit differently of Aaron Rodgers, because it doesn't seem to skew with what I thought of him, right? The politicization of this particular issue. Here's a guy who's stood up for public unions in the state of Wisconsin, who's stood up at protest about dumping materials, toxic materials in Africa. And then to hear this, it just doesn't jive. So I'm a little confused now about the Aaron Rodgers that I see. And where does it leave the team? He's certainly not a very good leader of the team, given that they're 7-1 and tied for the best record with two other teams in the NFC. And now he's going to be out for 10 games. They're going to have to play Jordan Love. They may slip behind. Just not a good look all the way around.
Jun Lee.
Yeah, I mean, to add to Kevin's point, even this week, Aaron Rodgers was at a Halloween party and wasn't wearing a mask. And it also recontextualizes, I think, a lot of the back and forth that we've seen between the Packers front office and him over the course of the last year and a half or so. Even over the course of his career, it makes me think back to Mina Kimes' feature in ESPN the magazine where he was recording the interview on both ends because he was skeptical of how the media was going to use it. And it's one of those things where you can't have it both ways. You can't be public-facing and trying to be talking about the community and trying to be thinking about everyone else, and then for yourself, not vaccinating, because vaccination is not something that you do for yourself. It's also something you do for other people. And as someone who's immunocompromised myself, it's something that you're doing in thinking about other people who are in the world and who might be sick and everyone else who might be on the sidelines, the people who are operating the first down markers, the staff at the stadium. It's not just about him. It's about everyone else around him and the Packers.
And George Sedano, if we could just drill down on how you think the NFL views this and also the NFL's response here. If the report is true, they refused his request for alternative vaccination, and whatever that means. We still don't have the details on that. Yet the last 8-9 weeks, we've seen him act on the field like a player who has been vaccinated.
Tony, I would say that the league and the team, for that matter, I don't want to excuse the Green Bay Packers here, are negligent at best, right? And you look at Aaron Rodgers, selfish, I would say. Michael Irvin talked about this months ago before the season started, and he eloquently basically said that, hey, man, if you have a team that's capable of winning a championship, you need to make this a sacrifice, right? Not only for the betterment of society, but for the betterment of your team. At the very least, it needs to be that, right? And I think that Aaron Rodgers has put his team in a position that's inenviable, right? They're in a lurch now. They have a guy who is the reigning MVP, who has been playing at an MVP caliber level on a team that is one of the best teams in football, and now they are in a position where they are probably not in a situation to succeed moving forward because that particular player is not available to them. I just think it's a really terrible situation all around for everyone.
That's all on the football field. That's all, you know, the integrity of the playoff standings. I think that's a conversation for another day. I think you all agree the NFL in a lot of ways was praised for the way they incentivized players getting the vaccine and getting to a place where they deemed would be a safe and healthy start of the season. And now I have to get back to this point. They reporting here is that they refused his request. They viewed him as unvaccinated. It was blatantly obvious to all who saw. He wasn't wearing a mask on sidelines or in postgame. Everybody saw that. How nothing came from that in the last 8 weeks but comes out today is interesting and something we'll talk about, I'm sure, for the rest of the week. We've been horned. We're going to move on now to the biggest news in the world last night. How do you even begin to tell the story of the Atlanta World Series victory? They hit every pothole, Freddie Freeman said. Lost one of the five best players in the game for the season at the All-Star break, Ronald Acuña Jr. We're barely over 500 in August, and now World Series champions. Jun Lee, how do you tell the story of Atlanta?
The most unlikely World Series champion of the last 30 years in baseball. This is the first team in baseball history that acquired its LCS MVP and World Series MVP at the trade deadline in Jorge Soler and Eddie Rosario. This is a team that depended on Max Fried and really needed to depend on his death. I think this is emblematic of the greater thing in baseball, which is that on paper rosters, when it comes to the postseason, just truly don't matter. And I'm looking at you, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees, who came into the season with incredibly talented on paper rosters and obviously did not win the World Series. But on top of that, you're looking at a team that lost Ronald Acuña Jr. and was able to fill in with a bullpen that bended but did not break and got contributions from up and down the roster. Mm-hmm.
Start me again once with what you said at the beginning here. The most unlikely World Series champion in how long?
30 years? Like, I was looking through the Wikipedia page of the World Series champions. Like
the Wikipedia page? Whoa. That.
Wow.
Kevin That's Blackstone, professor of journalism at the University of Maryland. Please, the floor is yours.
Whoa, Wikipedia is just a compass. It might point you in the right direction, but don't follow it to the cliff. And not only that, there was a team that won the World Series down here just a couple years ago that had an outrageously poor record to start. But I will say this to your point, June. This was a remarkable turnaround. You're talking about a team that played 494 ball in the first half and 611 ball in the second half. If they had done that all year long, they'd won 99, maybe 100 games. You do the math. So it was a remarkable run. And the fact that Freddie Freeman is not the MVP, it's a guy named Soler who reminds me of Puig, rather, is remarkable. I mean, they got a bunch of good players on that team, and they all gelled at the right time. They got healthy at the right time. They beat the Dodgers, by the way, and they get to where they got to. So good for them.
Soler, the MVP, and he's part of how Atlanta reconfigured themselves at the trade line. If you were to stop there, June, you'd be fine. You went to Wikipedia. But this team did all that with the 12th best record in the regular season and won it all, Tim Kalischer. How do you view the Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes beyond unlikely over the last 30 years. You know, when you figure out the NLCS MVP was with the Cleveland Indians on July 4th. The World Series MVP was on the Kansas City Royals on July 4th. They're not hitting, by the way. And how all this came about, they went out and got four outfielders, and all of them, each of them, I should say, hit three home runs during the postseason. The starting pitchers, they lost their one of their best ones in the first three innings of game one. Put him down to two pitchers, didn't matter. They
George, you view this as a team that came together as a good team or just a very magical run?
I honestly think it's a little bit of both, Tony. They have a really talented roster. Yes, they're missing a couple of key components, but they were able to supplant those components to rebuild around a new roster, basically. And the one thing they do have is their pitching, right? Their pitching has been fantastic for most of these of this postseason. And look at this Astros team. They led the league in runs scored this season with 5.3. They had 6.7 heading into the World Series, 6.7 runs per game. They were held to two runs or less in four of the six games. You got to give Atlanta credit, at least
yes,
for their
you
staff.
Do. You have to give them, and you did not. You did not when you said Houston had figured everything out. You're going the wrong way, George. Don't forget about it. Kalischer, you tricked the right. Real quick, I want to ask about baseball in general, Tim. All right? Does this series have you thinking baseball is going in the right direction? I mean, we've seen pitchers who didn't start games all season start World Series games. Is baseball going in the right direction here or standing still, leaning the wrong way?
What do you I think half the East Coast was asleep when these games ended. I think baseball has an issue with how long these games are, how many
pitches
teams make, and starting pitchers who, if you get 3 2/3 innings, that's going to be the quality start of the next era. There's some things to be fixed.
I think we're at an inflection point at the use of analytics and whether or not that is actually valuable for the entertainment product on the field. Those two things are often contradicting each other. And so it's going to be really interesting to see as we move forward whether or not MLB makes rule changes to how relievers are used, kind of putting more emphasis on the starts, whether they shrink the pitching staffs as a whole. There's a lot of ways that MLB could approach this issue of relievers kind of being used like they have been over the course of this postseason.
Whether they choose to is another thing. I still can't get my head around that Jorge Soler home run. Kudos to the director for Fox, because he held on the shot, or she held on the shot, for a little bit longer, and you could just see him really enjoy it, and that was wonderful. The ball went over the train tracks, was picked up at an apartment house party where, where somebody's got part of baseball history. It's amazing. We'll be back in By Herself, 2 minutes.
Around the Horn is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The whole purpose of the College Football Playoff Committee's decision to reveal rankings on a TV show the last 6 weeks of the season was to incite drama, excitement, and yes, mayhem. So, mission accomplished. Should be said, the first ranking never resembles where they finished, but that's not the point. We got a one-loss team at number 2, Alabama. That's never happened before in the first poll. We got an undefeated Power 5 team at number 8, Oklahoma, which Kyle Show said was going to be the top 4. So the committee really cared about how teams look, not just the record. We got the Big Ten all over the place. A lot of respect given there. Checks notes where committee chair is from. Oh, Iowa. And most notably, Cincinnati, undefeated, one of the 2 or 3 best wins of this season at Notre Dame, number 6. George, have at it.
Tony, I thought the committee got this thing right. Oregon has the best win, I think, of anyone in college football this season, going to Ohio State, okay, where they hadn't lost at home in several years. I think it was 27 straight wins they had there at Ohio State. So I think despite the fact they have one loss to their rival Stanford, which is always a close game, I think they're one of the most talented teams in the country. So I like what the committee
did. Kalashaw.
Okay, let's easy with the always a close game with Stanford. Stanford's not any good this year. We've seen that 3 or 4 times. I still don't think you can say they got Alabama right. If they got them right, then losing to Texas A&M just didn't matter at all. If they're number 2 and they're ahead of every unbeaten team except the one they can now lose to, Georgia, and still stay in the top 4, which is why I think the committee
said. So you see a world where a 2-loss, we'll have a conversation, can a 3-loss Alabama team make the Final 4?
Not 3, but, probably. Not
that was
3.
A joke. 2, yeah. But to the point, the mission is to choose the 4 best teams or to choose the 4 best resumes in your world, Tim?
In my world, they would be picking the 4 most deserving teams, but they don't do that. They go by who had the best recruiting, who had the best signing day, and that's Alabama.
Kevin Blackstone.
And the fact that Ohio State lost at home to Oregon is a suggestion that maybe they are not as good, they're a very young team, as the committee made them out to be. And maybe the better team in the state of Ohio is from Cincinnati, the Bearcats, who have a Heisman Trophy candidate in Desmond Ridder at quarterback. And I think they got robbed here. That 8-0 should be sparkling in the top 4.
So the number 6 there is the highest ranking ever for a team that's not in whatever you want to call them, you know? But you're saying they should be higher than that. June Lee, I'll bring
exactly.
you in.
Exactly.
Well, I think that Tim and Kevin both point out the fact that teams like Alabama in the Power 5 conferences are getting less scrutiny in terms of their schedule over the course of the year, whereas a team like Cincinnati or a team like BYU, who's number 15, they have to do a lot more in order to get credibility. I think this speaks to a larger issue with college football as a whole, where a lot of these teams who are outside of these Power 5 conferences, they're kind of season is over in terms of aspiring for a national
championship. Would you all agree, Cincinnati, at 6 to start, can't get into the top 4 now unless all hell breaks loose?
Not true.
No, George, you
not
still
true.
Think
it's too many losses.
No.
Would
yeah,
have
okay.
To they have no shot.
You still think there's a chance.
They have the third SOS ranking in the country.
They
right
should
now.
Be in there. I know. I hear you, Blackstone. But,
wait,
George, you seem to think
they can
still get there.
Yeah, Michigan State supposed to play Ohio State and Penn State, and God forbid they get to the Big Ten championship game. Like, Michigan State can still get out of this fairly easily.
Buy or sell 2, Odell Beckham Jr., not at Browns practice today. During media availability, Coach Kevin Stefanski provided very little, said the GM and agent are discussing all sorts of things. Said he was excused today, though there's reports that he told the team in a meeting this morning he's not on the team at the moment. Kalashaw, what are you doing here with this information?
You know, Odell Beckham Jr. had a decent first year in Cleveland, but he got injured at the beginning of Game 7 last year, didn't return until Game 3 this year. His problem isn't Baker Mayfield. His problem has been getting on the football field, and he hasn't been able to do it.
Kevin Blackstone, do you believe this is reparable here?
Absolutely not. He's got to go for the betterment of OBJ. And not only that, but, I mean, there are reports that he wasn't even getting passes thrown to him in practice, let alone a game. Got to go.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. I think we're past the point of return here. I mean, when your dad is going on Instagram and posting videos of Baker Mayfield overthrowing your son, like, there's only so much you can do to repair that relationship.
Dodano.
Tony, they were force-feeding him the ball when he first got there, and it led to some losses. And then, obviously, they started spreading it around. He wasn't getting any attempts, so it's been a bad match from
the start. But if I ask you, is your team better with Odell Beckham Jr. on it or not? They're 4-4. Their season's at a crossroads right now. And now, what, he's not available for this week and the rest, they're going to deactivate him, George? That's the wisest move for this team?
No, it's not the wisest move, but I think teams know that he's got two more years left on that deal, and they don't want to eat that contract.
All right, that's it for George Sedano today and June Lee, both in the negatives. You know, June, I'm freeing you up now because on your Wikipedia page it says you're an avid spelunker. So now you can spelunk your way while Kalishaw and Blackstone have showdown next.
Ugh. All right.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Never too early for saves of the year. Thatcher Demko, watch this 20-second sequence here, Vancouver, New York last night. He lost his stick. He lost his blocker. He was using his legs, his torso, had his hand behind his back at one point. And it's this scorpion skate kick for me. You kind of need to see it in slow-mo, so we're gonna show it again. Tim, what was the best part of all those saves?
Oh, there's a lot here. People have said I could beat Blackstone with one hand tied behind my back. I personally haven't said that. But Demko with the hand behind the back after he loses the blocker. He's protecting the hand, but he's still stopping KB. Those Rangers.
The Rangers were on a power play against a goalie who was stripped naked, and they still couldn't score. That's the story here. Great job, Demko.
Yeah, it's the scorpion skate kick. It's so great when you get a leg that high up. We'll move on. Lakers 119, Rockets 117 last night. That was the official final score. Lakers did at one point score two more points. So maybe it should be 121-117. The two free throws Kent Bazemore had already made were taken off the board four possessions later because the refs realized it came after a 14 foul, not a 15 foul. So Baze less here. Kevin, can referees take points that are already on the board off the board?
Absolutely they can do that. I'm glad they got it right. I mean, otherwise we'd be talking about this game saying, look, they messed this up. This shouldn't have been okay. A bonus. They should have taken it down.
No, they can't do that. I am not a fan of time travel, even though I've come to grips with the fact that time is curved and maybe it will happen someday. Still, you cannot go back after four possessions and say, Kent Bazemore, you never took those
I'm
shots.
Going back after some of your arguments you made earlier in the show today.
Thank you very much.
Blackstone, FaceTime.
One little bit of news that I like coming out of the World Series is the fact that apparently the Astros and Dusty Baker are going to sit down and look for a 1 to 2 year deal to keep him around. Thank goodness. Last time this guy was with the Nationals, he won 97, 95 games, went to the playoffs and didn't get retained. Was averaging 90 games of name, wins a game with Cincinnati, didn't get brought back. Come on, give this guy a break.
Today's champion, Kevin Blackstone. Wikipedia says so. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Happy Hour is presented by Guinness. Drink responsibly.